That's all it is. Like, he's a good player.
I feel like you're turning into Greg Popovich because you're putting much better players under Mason Plumlee.
No, Plumlee just works well with Jokic. That's why.
Yeah, Plumlee's a good, like, seventh guy.
Yeah, if you're going to build around... I wouldn't say seventh. I'd say, like, eight. But, yeah. Fine, if you're going to build around Jokic, like, then you got to fully build around him, right?
Also, I feel if Mason Plumlee was on Kyrie Irving's team, he would be one of the five guys mentioned when Kyrie Irving mentions that, you know, these five guys are solid on my team.
Oh, yeah, because he would give up the ball.
Yeah. Just seems to like the guy. I mean, he keeps making the Olympic teams. It's incredible.
Plumlee?
Yeah.
He's just a hard-nosed player. He brings his hard hat to work every day.
What other white euphemisms can you put in there?
He's a gym rat. Have you seen this guy? He just brings his lunch pail to work and gets to it.
You know what I heard? I heard that TJ McConnell is one of the most popular athletes in Indiana right now.
Surprise, surprise.
I could see that.
Like, his jersey sells more than like Sabonis and Victor Oladipo.
Yeah, surprise, surprise.
It's crazy.
I think he is from
Indiana. I'm actually being serious too, which is like the craziest part.
Isn't he from Indiana? Oh no, he's from Pittsburgh.
He looks like he's from Indiana.
Yo, man, he looks like a generic Hoosier. Like,
he's probably in that movie.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line I got my pick and pop partner, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
Very well. Coming back from my vacation nice and tanned.
Ooh, this guy is soaking up the sun, eh?
Yeah, finally have some color.
We'll see how long it lasts for, man.
Not very long based on this weather.
Banger in the paint, Rajan Walia, how you feeling?
I'm good, but I'm as pale as Josh used to be, not getting enough sun up here.
God, that's literally impossible. Come on.
I am
as
the
pale
snow.
As I can be.
There you go. I like the sentiment, but you're a couple of shades darker. Sorry.
Yeah. I've always had that little a little tint in me.
All right. So we're recording this on Sunday night of January 19. Tomorrow, January 20th, is going to be the last day that fans can vote for their favorite All-Stars, and your votes count as double. So have you guys been voting? Like, do you vote for this stuff anymore?
Can you still do it on Twitter?
No, I think you got to do it through their website or like Google Home or something like that.
Yeah, I was thinking about doing it. They could still do like the hashtag NBA vote thing, but then I guess Bieber ruined that 5 years ago.
I mean, the fan voting has already been botched like for so long.
I sort of like that chaotic system, though. We could just get like a celebrity to tweet that out and all of his 15-year-old followers would just retweet it, and then you get that many votes.
Did those retweets count?
Yeah, supposedly.
Oh.
So when Bieber did it, there was like 90,000 retweets or whatever it was in the first day or so.
Was this for Kyle Lowry?
I think so. It was either him or Bosch. Maybe it was longer ago.
No way it was Bosch. No. That's like more recent memory. No. Yeah. It was DeRozan or Lowry. Mm. I feel like it was the year that Toronto had the All-Star game.
Yeah.
2016. So it could have been Lowry.
Yeah. It would make more sense for that to be the time. Raj, are you voting?
No, I haven't voted since like at least 2013, 2014. I just feel the system is such a popularity contest, so I know we'll get into that.
But you get to contribute to who you like. Who do you think is the most popular player?
Oh, let me guess. Right now it would be Carmelo Anthony's probably somewhere in the top five. That's what I mean. Like, he's on the list of one of the top vote getters so far.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's hilarious. Carmelo Anthony. What a comeback story this guy's had this year, Josh.
I like how they're treating him as if he's Dirk from last year or Vince Carter this year, where like all the opposing fans. No, all the opposing fans are like cheering him on when the starting lineups are announced. And you're just like, this is probably not this guy's last year if he keeps playing like this. So he's only like 33 years old.
No, yeah, man, yeah. It's disrespect. Can't do that to Carmelo Anthony.
I mean, I'll give him credit. He's actually been pretty good this year offensively.
Hey, you said it. Look at that.
You know what? He belongs on an NBA roster, but I don't think the roster should be the All-Star game. But it's just name recognition, and there's a few other names that are on this list, and you could just like roll your eyes. But you know what? It is what it is.
No, I want to continue on this trend, Raj. We're going to talk about, obviously, the All-Star voting this year. Give me a second. I just want to run through who the fans have starting so far. So in the East, in your front court, you have Giannis Antetokounmpo, with an astounding lead. There's no one that's going to catch him. At the number two spot of the front court, you have Pascal Siakam of your Toronto Raptors, and then Joel Embiid in the third spot. In the guards, which is why I wanted you specifically to talk about this, Raj, we have Trae Young from Atlanta, the worst team in the East right now, leading the guards voting. And then Kyrie Irving, who's played maybe half the games at most.
That's pushing it. He's been in like 16, 17 games.
Yeah, we're well into like halfway through the year by now. I don't know. What do you think about this team? Who do you have?
Well, I obviously you have to have Giannis in the front court. The front court in the East is a bit tricky because you have the injuries. But I think based off of just their play thus far, I think Pascal Siakam deserves to be an all-star in the East. And then I would have to say Joel Embiid is rounding out the front court. I know you have a bit too many power forwards there, but they don't really do it by positions. It's just really front court and guards. But in the guards, like you have Trae Young and Kyrie Irving, those guys would questionably make the bench for me in the All-Star game. Trae Young's obviously a good stats, bad team guy, and he's all about making the highlights. Like, you don't see those turnovers. You don't see the shooting percentage. You don't see him holding. His usage rate is probably through the roof right now. Then you look down the list on who else is in the guards. Like, I think Kemba Walker deserves it just by the level he's played at consistently. He's been healthy. Boston's been very good this year. And then this one comes down to who do you think is the next best guard? I would probably have to give it to Ben Simmons or Bradley Beal. I think Bradley Beal's been missing a few games, and he's been on a very bad team, so he's been able to put up good stats. So
Hold on. You have Bradley Beal there instead of Trae Young? The Wizards are only like three games better than the Hawks right now.
Yeah, but I think that Bradley Beal as like a player isn't as... He is high usage this year, but I think Trae Young is like almost to a point where like he doesn't make his teammates better. And I'm not saying what? Bradley Beal has been doing that, but I feel this year, if he didn't get injured, he doesn't demand the ball as much as Trae Young does, or doesn't use the ball as much.
Yeah, hardly anybody does, but he's still up there. I mean, it's hard to average 30 points a game, even in the pace that they play, without having the ball a lot in your hands. And I think both those guys are in the same boat right now. Like, they're not going to be starters, I don't think, because the media and the players probably won't vote them in. Maybe they will. But, you know, if both those guys get in as, you know, either a starter or a reserve, it's a good thing because they're, you know, fun to watch, and it'll be a fun All-Star game if they're both there.
Yeah, but I would give it to Ben Simmons over those two guys. So I'd go Kemba and Ben Simmons. But we'll talk about Ben Simmons, I'm sure, another day.
Yeah, I guess so. I agree. I think it should be Kemba and Ben Simmons. Kemba is probably the best guard in the East this year.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Nah, I disagree.
Do you think Ben Simmons has been better? Or do you think there's someone else?
I mean, Ben Simmons has definitely been better.
Dude, if you say Fred VanVleet or Kyle Lowry, man.
Kyle Lowry. If you look at the raw numbers, like besides the efficiency, Kyle Lowry is having a much better season overall than Kemba Walker.
How many games has Lowry played in compared to Walker?
31 versus 36.
Oh, that's actually pretty close.
Yeah, and I mean, Lowry's putting up 20 points, 8 assists, and 5 rebounds. Kemba's putting up 22, 4, and 4. And Kemba's basically had, you know, three guys, or at least two guys around him at all times that can really handle the ball and are proven playmakers now.
Especially
making a jump, right? And then Lowry's been able to, you know, lift this Toronto Raptors lineup in a situation where he's often only the, you know, I guess he's probably only the second starter they can look at in their starting five. That's been proven. OG's still getting there, I think. But throughout this stretch, he's been playing with a lot of guys like, you know, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson and Terrence Davis starting. And they've had a tough schedule. And yet they have the exact same record as Boston. I think they're one game ahead.
Hold on. What did you say Kyle Lowry's stats are?
28-5.
Yeah, you can't. No, man, that's so illegit. Kyle Lowry is averaging 20.4, 7.6, and 4.5. For Kemba Walker, he's averaging 22, 4.9, and 4. How can you round up for Kyle Lowry and not for Kemba Walker when Kemba Walker's at 4.9?
He's a Canadian.
Come on, man. Like, come on. You're giving us a bad look here, bro. What is this?
The point is Lowry has often had nobody near, nobody with him in the lineup. Like all these injuries that have happened, they've been out with, you know, without four starters, and often if you count Norman Powell for a lot of the year, five. And he's had much less quality in the lineup versus what Kemba's had, you know, just being able to rely on Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and most of the time Gordon Hayward, and then Marcus Smart, since he's been back, has been really good as well. So I just think Lowry's done more in terms of carrying a team that's basically had a skeleton roster for half the year.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with Kyle Lowry having a good year, and we've all seen what he did in the playoffs, and he's really kind of removed that choke tag from his name, at least from last year's playoff run. But I think
he's a legend forever.
Now.
But you can't even bring that up anymore. Like, no matter what he does for the rest of his career, he's always going to be known as a winner now.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, I'm giving you that. But I'm saying with Kemba, the fact that he has, like, I would say three players that have actually been healthy, or let's say two and a half, because Gordon Hayward's had his fair share of injuries this year, that are almost like 15 plus points per game with Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and then obviously Gordon Hayward. And he's still putting up those numbers, and they're still winning, and he's integrating into a new offense. And he's actually done a pretty good job of like helping facilitate that team. And like, they're just better off with Kemba Walker than they were with Kyrie Irving. And yes, he hasn't carried the team because he has other weapons, but he's done a very good job and he's done what's asked of him. And I don't think you can fault him for having a good team.
No, but when you're comparing guys, I think you sort of have to look at that. Like, which guy is in the worst situation?
But Trae Young's carried his team to losses, but
Lowry's doing it to the same record as Boston. He's had less players. I just don't see how that's not having a better year.
I think the debate could be made. I'm not saying Kyle Lowry is not deserving of an All-Star nod, but I'm saying I think Kemba deserves the starting nod over him. Just he's healthier. I think he's had just as good as, if not better, year than Lowry. I think also another thing that factors in is I don't think he was an All-Star much when he was in Charlotte, when he probably deserved to be.
Yeah, I think more so for this year at least. It's mainly due to Kemba's ability to be on the floor, right? Lowry missing 12 or 13 games, however many he missed, is actually a big deal for a team that's already been so like depleted with injuries, whereas Kemba's been relatively healthy. And that's like the main reason you would see the nod over Kyle Lowry to be a starter. You know what I mean? And obviously you have the same narrative as everyone else against the Raptors, like with the typical media like looking down on the Raptors because they're in Canada. So obviously they don't get as much run.
But yeah, and you know, Kemba has had a really good year on defense too. Like, he's actually really trying out there, and I'll give him credit for that. But Lowry might be the best defender at the point guard position out of anybody, right?
Yo, Boston's system really protects Kemba, eh? Like, as soon as there's any mismatch on him, they switch it out so fast just to put any other player on the big or whoever's got him. Like, those switches out while it's on the ball is incredibly fast. Like, they're on point.
Yeah, and I mean, Boston's done a really good job with different defenses they've employed, just, you know, as you said, to hide him. But even when he's involved a lot of the time in the pick and roll, like, he's really trying to get around screens. Now he's not dying on them like he used to because he's so small. I mean, you look at a guy like Isaiah Thomas, who's, you know, I think they're not too far away in terms of height, but Isaiah just dies on screens. He just doesn't try hard enough, and Kemba's really bought in. He has a winning mentality now.
All right, who do we have for the bigs? Rush?
Yeah. Well, I said it earlier, Giannis, Siakam, and Embiid, but I actually want to talk about this. I think Josh would probably agree, but I'm actually saying like those are probably the players that end up starting. But if I look at it as a whole, like which players are the most deserving, I think I'd have a different answer.
So what do you
have? Let's see if you have the same player as I do. So go ahead.
I would have Giannis, Bam, and I would throw in a wild card like Sabonis. That's who I would have as having the best year thus far.
Yeah, I mean, Sabonis has a case. And honestly, like Bama's the same guy I was going to bring up too. I mean, if you look at it, he's probably had a better year just because of like the games played than Siakam has. And Bam has been the best player on Miami this year. I don't think that's in question. I mean, they go to Jimmy Butler at the end of the game, obviously, but Bam has been the one constant with them, and he's the reason why they're so good on defense. And offensively, he's improved a ton as well.
Yeah, seeing Bam handle the rock is pretty impressive this year, considering last year he was splitting time with Hassan Whiteside, right? Like, he's taken on that team, averaging, what, like 16, 10, 4.6 assists, 1.2 steals, and 1.2 blocks? This guy's a killer out there.
Pretty good.
Yeah, he's not bad. He's not bad. It's really weird that they have Jimmy Butler as a forward rather than like a guard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's kind of annoying because I think we would all say Jimmy Butler would be ahead of most guards in the East as well, right? Where he should be.
I think he would be like in the same boat as like Simmons. I think he probably has had a bit more success in terms of like his ability to impact the game. But yeah, I think Butler is a player that probably plays 1 through 4. So he could fit anywhere depending on like what's his best chances of getting into the All-Star game.
Yeah, it's just rough that they slotted him as a forward. So he's literally out of contention for anyone to vote for as a front court player. Well, obviously, if you're going to vote for the other three.
Yeah, and I think if you look at just his vote totals thus far, I think he'd be almost number one amongst guards.
Oh, he's ahead of all the guards. Or wait, no, sorry, he's just behind Trae Young, like barely behind Trae Young.
All right, so stat corner, what do you guys each think Jimmy Butler is shooting from the three-point line in terms of percentage this season?
I'm going to say a whopping 37%.
42.
3-point percentage.
Yeah, I think highly of Jimmy, man.
His shooting outside of 18 feet is not great. He's shooting, 26.5% from the 3-point line. I think overall he's been terrible too. So he's really good at the basket, obviously. He's still shooting 44% from the field, but 26.5 from three. And in the games that I've watched, he doesn't really try to even, he's sort of like DeRozan now almost, where he doesn't really try to get up that many attempts from the 3-point line despite being open a lot of the time. He wasn't like that last year.
He chills a lot on Miami, eh?
Yeah, like even late in the game, you see Dragic and Nunn handling the ball.
Yeah. So why is he getting so much praise as being Miami's best player?
Name recognition. Because he has a name. I mean, it's like going back to the Kyle Lowry, Kemba Walker thing. If Lowry played in the States right now for a team that has a lot of marketability, I think that he would probably be in the discussion of a starter. But since he's Kyle Lowry, he won't. And it's the same situation with this, too.
Yeah. I also look at Jimmy Butler, I think, realizing the role that he had in Philly. He was still like the top dog in terms of getting the ball late in games. And I think people, when they watch highlight packages, like the season's 82 games long, no one's going to watch all 82 games. What you see on the highlights is the last 5 minutes usually of the game. And if whoever has the rock, that's who you remember.
Yeah. So you would remember Duncan Robinson a lot and Tyler Hero.
Hey, Duncan Robinson's the best three-point shooter in the NBA. Maybe Jimmy Butler can learn something from him.
Yo, what are Duncan Robinson's numbers? His three-point percentage?
I think he was at 45% about a week ago anyway. So he was the leader up to about last week. I'm not sure if it's the same now. I mean, if it was based on the last like 15, 20 games, then LaMarcus Aldridge would be number one.
I like that.
What a weird subplot of the season. Oh my goodness.
Yo, he just turned it on one day, eh? Like in mid-December.
He was like, oh, maybe I should just take one whole step back.
Yeah. Wow. I can shoot 5 of these a game? Jesus.
And add a couple points to my point total, so I'm not averaging 16 points? Yeah, not bad.
I love it. My fantasy team loves LaMarcus Aldridge. It's great. It's great.
And so do the Spurs right now.
Duncan Robinson. Okay, what do you think his three-point percentage is?
I'm going to say 44%.
Okay. I think he's had a bit of a downturn lately. So, yeah, I'm going to go with like 43.5.
Wow. 42.8.
Wow, he's really tailed off. My goodness.
Yeah.
Shame on him.
What a scrub. Oh, no.
43%? That's terrible.
Yeah.
He should especially be on 5 attempts a game.
Yeah, he should be on the bench. Ride the pine. So, we're looking at... wow. You know what I just thought of with this East front court? No American-born players. How about that? Antetokounmpo, Siakam, and Embiid.
That would be something.
Wow.
We call that the Masai tree.
Masai's Giants.
Yeah, it's hey, also give it about 3 years, all three guys will be starting for the Raptors.
With Embiid?
Yeah, he's becoming a free agent in 3 years, I think, right? Or 2 years?
Man, he ain't leaving. Come on now. He is the process. Process doesn't move on.
It's interesting, too, because if you look at like all the talk of the NBA being more of a guard-dominated league, I think the top five or the top four vote-getters are all forwards or front-court players in the Eastern Conference, at least.
Yeah, definitely. It's the NBA has changed. Like, they got rid of that center position a few years ago to try to accommodate for the players. Yeah. And then you had this big influx of guys like, you know, Joel Embiid, Karl Anthony Towns, all these like really dominant centers coming in. And now you're just like, huh, we already got rid of the center position. What do we do?
Yeah.
So a lot of guys are going to get boned out of it.
Yeah. And people say the position's watered down now, but there's a lot of good centers out there.
Yeah. It had like a little downfall with, like those last few years with, remember when like Joakim Noah was one of the top centers and like Al Horford was, Okafor. DeMarcus Cousins in Sacramento.
Joakim Noah got a couple. I think he was like third place in MVP voting about 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, but would you ever say Joakim Noah at that time was comparable to the centers that we have now?
I mean, he'd be Jokic, top five right now, probably.
You think so?
No, I would have to agree with you, Peter.
In his prime year, like say that's just like the top of the top for him. He was averaging, what, like 13, 14, and 6?
Yeah.
And providing great defense. I mean, people consider Gobert to be a top 10 player, right?
Player? No.
A lot of people do.
Top 10 player? No.
If you factor in his impact and what Utah does every year, like if without him, they'd be a lottery team. He's nearly as impactful as, you know, name a player that you think is in the top 10, like Paul George. I mean, Utah beat OKC, right?
Yeah, but that's very different. The team is just better than OKC it was.
Yeah, but I think a lot of that has to do with Gobert.
I don't think Gobert is top 10, man. I'd say like maybe 15. I wouldn't give him 10.
He's arguable, though. Like, who would you take, Karl Towns or Rudy Gobert right now?
Well, I would take Gobert, but I don't like Towns. That's just my own bias. I'd take Embiid over Gobert easy.
Yeah, for sure.
Would you take Sabonis or Gobert?
Gobert, for sure, Gobert. 100%.
Yeah. Okay, Jokic or Gobert?
I'd take Jokic. Jokic.
I don't know. That's tough.
No, you haven't watched enough Denver Nuggets games, Joe.
No, I love Nikola Jokic, obviously, but Gobert is the best defensive player in the NBA.
Really? Over your beloved champion, Kawhi Leonard?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Kawhi has lost a step. He lost a step last year.
Wow.
There were situations in the finals where Curry was calling for his man to come up in the pick and roll, and then he just roasted Kawhi a few times. You'd never see that in San Antonio days.
Yeah, well, he was there.
Well, all this talk is coming out now, eh, Josh?
I still love Kawhi.
Would have never said this 4 months ago, or 6 months ago, I guess.
No, I did say in the playoffs, for sure. Like, you could see that he lost a step, and Siakam was often taking the best guy, and he was doing that 3 years ago, too, when he had to, you know, guard John Wall, so... Siakam is a more versatile defender because I think he's like quicker on defense right now than Kawhi is.
Yeah, but he wasn't covering like Giannis. Giannis is by far the best player in that series.
No, like, well, Siakam started far, on him, and then, you know, Giannis was killing him. So they put Kawhi on him because he's stronger, and then they just pack the paint.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Siakam is a better defender at that point.
I think he's more rangy just because of his quickness, being able to guard guards. Like, Kawhi couldn't guard the quicker guards last year. Like, he probably got injured halfway through the season. Then in the playoffs, he hurt his knee on that playing as Milwaukee. Yeah. After that, I thought he'd just slow down, but somehow he kept going.
Yeah, I think Kawhi's obviously still an elite defender. I just think when you say best defender, we like to think defender as being able to defend multiple positions. And I think Kawhi can still do that, obviously, better than Gobert can. But at his position, I think Gobert is the best defender.
Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. Super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start. to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon.
In terms of like the starting five for the West, we're going into that now, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
I think Kawhi has to be there as well. And I think that the other guys are pretty obvious. I mean, you got Luka Doncic, right?
We yeah.
agree on that?
No doubt.
James Harden, LeBron, yeah. Anthony Davis.
Yeah, begrudgingly, you have to put in LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Begrudgingly?
Yeah, but I don't know who else you would put.
I just don't like it. I don't like voting
for... I don't like James Harden, but you have to put him there too.
My thing is, I don't like voting for two guys on the same team.
Yeah, but when they're that dominant, I mean, you look at the roster around those guys, it's pretty shocking how good they are.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think also, like, I don't know who's had a season where I can say, like, yes, they deserve to be in over either LeBron or Anthony Davis in the West.
No, I think the weakest player amongst the West frontcourt players would be Kawhi at this point.
Yeah, it's probably because he's also taking games off, too. That's probably the biggest argument against him. Like, I think Luka's a lock. James is, James Harden's a lock. Davis has had an incredible year. And then Kawhi and LeBron, obviously, like, I'm not going to put Paul George over because he missed quite a few games and he's not had a step, like, an as good of a season. Kat's been injured a lot. And then there's a few other players that get who are high up in the fan voting, but no one else who's really a legitimate threat.
I think it would mainly be Jokic. And then I've heard a lot about Brandon Ingram being like in contention for it. Obviously, he wouldn't get it, but some people really love Brandon Ingram's game this year.
He's gotten better, though.
Been really good. And he probably should be a sub.
Yeah.
I mean, between him and Booker, who would you take as a sub? I don't know if I'm supposed to get in this type of talk, but I'm interested what you guys think.
I'd give it to Brandon Ingram. I think Booker's kind of been, like, he's been very good when he's good, but I think he has other situations where I think there was a few games he was either out with injury or taking the night off, and I think Ingram's had a better year so far.
Wait, do you mean for the All-Star game or on our own team?
What
do you
mean in the All-Star game, so it's probably going to come down to one of them for one of the last spots.
For the All-Star game, I think I would take Booker, but if I had a personal team, I'd take Ingram at this point. Lengthy defender, obviously. And his defense is actually a lot better than it has been in the past. Like, he's staying in front of his man pretty easily now. He's actually moving his feet for one. And his shot is so minty inside. Like, it is so nice this year.
Ingram has been good from everywhere on the floor, and his three-point shot has been a lot better than a lot of people, including myself, thought it would ever be.
Oh, we all roasted Brandon Ingram. All three of us did. We all three of us roasted Brandon Ingram at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I was pretty shocked at his progression. I'm still not convinced that he's even like a great second option on a winning team. I think when Zion comes back, he's going to be pushed back into a different type of role where he's not handling the ball all the time. And I don't think he's going to be nearly as good. I think he'll still be a good player, but not a guy you're going to want to sign to a max contract in the offseason. I don't think he's worth that.
I think one of the... for lack of better terms, a scrubbier team will definitely hand him a max contract.
Oh, for sure. Like, he's definitely getting a max contract. Yeah. It's just, I don't want to be that team that gives that out to him because you're spending, you know, 30% of the cap on a player who can't even bring this team close to, I mean, they're close to the playoffs this year, but in a regular year,
you know,
being 8 games under 500, will you be close to the 8th seed like, as you are this year? Because this year's an anomaly for the West.
What if he went to Atlanta? Him, Trey Young, and John Collins? That'd be a nice three.
You're missing somebody.
Vince?
Yeah, you got it.
Bang on.
Who am I missing?
Red Velvet.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Herter.
Yeah, my bad. My bad, Kevin Herter. My fault. But yeah, that'd be a nice like combination of guys.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a really fun team.
Yeah, so let's get this to happen.
I think you'd sort of be like the Atlanta of the past where, you know, when Josh Smith was first coming up, you'd be like, wow, this team is actually going to be really exciting with, you know, Joe Johnson who's coming into his own as a star. And then you got Josh Smith here, who's a jumping jack who can basically do everything on the floor. And a few other guys that, you know, just fit in perfectly to that team. They were fun for like a year or two. And then everyone just hated them afterwards. It was like the ultimate treadmill team.
Kevin Herter is the new Josh Childress. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, basically.
They basically look the same, right? Oh, man. Yeah, I think the rest of the West is pretty much the same. Can you make a case for Nikola Jokic over Kawhi Leonard? He obviously had a slower start to the year, but his... No, listen. He's obviously picked it up over the past 20 games, so like half the season so far. And his defense is really good. Okay, not really good. His defense is good.
Relax.
No, man.
Are you slandering me for Kyle Lowry early in the episode and you're telling me that Nikola Jokic's defense is good?
Dude, it's good. Watch him. His hands are just...
Wait, no, you said very good, didn't you?
Yeah, I pulled that back really quick.
He definitely said very good.
Someone got excited.
Oh, man. I just love watching this guy play. Yo, his defense has gotten a lot better. Like, his hands are quick. Anytime there's an entry pass, it's usually deflected. Or any pass is going through the lane. Like, he's got his paws on it.
Yeah, but I think the big knock on Jokic isn't that his defense isn't good enough. I think it's just he started the first, like, 15 games, like, in sleepwalking mode.
Yeah, but is that
the equivalent? You were going to say that he was fat, but you didn't say it.
I have respect for Jokic now. I could have said that like a month ago, but now that he's turned it up, I'm not going to say it.
Respect how much he eats too. I mean, it's quite impressive to still be that fat despite playing for 3 hours every second night.
Yeah, whatever, man. When you're that big, it doesn't matter. He can do whatever he wants. But is Nikola Jokic's slow start worse than Kawhi sitting out a third of the season so far?
When Kawhi's played, he's been awesome pretty much the entire season. And when Paul George has been out, he's putting up crazy numbers. I mean, even the last five games, he's averaging, I think, 33 points a game and 6 assists and 6 rebounds. And he's shooting like an insane percentage from the field. And he's carrying that team right now through a somewhat difficult stretch. So, yeah, I mean, Kawhi has been awesome when he has played this year. And Jokic, he was bad for his standards for at least half the year.
But for his standards, but he's still leading the team in all the major categories. 19.2, 10, and 6.4 assists.
That's now, though. I mean, during that stretch, he was averaging, what, 16, 9, and 4? He had, like, a crazy low assist total, which, you know, I think leads you to believe that he really wasn't engaged at all.
Oh, he wasn't. It's very obvious that he wasn't, but Kawhi's not, Kawhi's overall numbers are not much better aside from his points. Averaging 27, 7, and 5.
Yeah, he's also been a part of, like, a lot of blowouts, so when Paul George does play. And again, when he doesn't, Kawhi has been pretty much playoff Kawhi. So he's still doing his thing.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Kawhi's not averaging 51 from the field. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't know.
I'm trying,
man. Time he will be.
I'm really trying my best here. Want to sing praise about Luka Doncic real quick? I don't think any of us want to sing praise about James Harden, but Luka Doncic is doing some things.
Yeah, I mean, and having Tim Hardaway Jr. as your second option right now and still winning games against teams like Philadelphia, it's pretty impressive what he's able to do, having the ball in his hand as much as he does. And he struggled at points in the last 10 to 15 games in crunch time, which I think a lot had to do with Porzingis being out and having so much on his shoulders right now. But I think they've recently changed their substitution pattern, which has allowed him to stay fresh in the fourth quarter. They used to play in the entire first quarter, pretty much the entire first half of the year. And then when he got injured, they decided to cut that and only have him play the first 8 minutes and then come back later on in the second quarter. And they're doing the same thing in the fourth quarter. So I'm hoping that Nick Nurse sees the same thing and, you know, gets the message and starts playing those guys less tennis as well on the Toronto side of things.
Good luck with
wishful
that.
Wishful thinking.
For real.
I mean, Lowry only played like 38 minutes last game. So
it's progress is progress.
42.
Yeah. No, we're getting there.
I think the crazy thing, just looking at Luka, is we've seen a lot of players like have good starts to their career, but like nothing at this level. And on top of it, he's not in a dominant team. Like Dallas was not a very dominant team. Like if you looked on paper, like a lot of people would say this team definitely doesn't even deserve to be close to the playoff picture. And he's been able to carry this team.
Well, I know somebody specifically had said that before the year started. And then got rebuffed by somebody else in this podcast.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how far they go in the end of the year. But I was completely wrong. I think a lot of other people look at this roster minus Luka and say like, yeah, this team's not very good. But he's doing it at such a high level at year two with, I would say, like not the best weapons. Like imagine what he would be like in year five or six with a bit stronger of a roster. Like this is, I think he's probably on path to be a more dominant player than Giannis is currently.
It's possible. It's hard to bet against Giannis though at this point. I love Luka, but it's hard to bet against him, dude.
But he's like, Giannis obviously came into the league, different position, different background, a lot of different things. But I think Giannis is what, in his seventh year in the league now?
The way I see Giannis is the way I see Terminator. I feel like he started as like Arnold Schwarzenegger once he like bulked up, or he seemed like an unstoppable force, but now it's like movie number two where he's the cop and it just seems like you cannot kill this dude. What he's just going to keep coming and coming. And I think eventually in year like 10, he's going to be the Terminator that finally is able to stay alive in these movies and end up killing everybody.
What the hell are you talking about?
How much Terminator did you watch?
How much weed have you smoked this week?
I'm like 30 minutes in right now.
What is happening?
LeBron might, I mean, Giannis's peak might be better than LeBron's.
Peak?
Yeah. And LeBron made the finals for like 8 straight years, right? So I just see like Giannis could eventually get there, maybe not as long as LeBron, obviously. He might get there for a year or two if he stays healthy. But Giannis, I think, can reach that level for a smaller amount of time. He's not going to be nearly as good as LeBron when it's said and done, but I think he might get to the level of like near Shaq, which, you know, Shaq had maybe the most dominant season ever, right? I think Giannis might eventually get to that point. I mean, his team might win 70 games this year.
Are you saying Shaq prime was greater than LeBron prime?
The 1 year?
I think Shaq, when he was at his best, like he was completely unstoppable.
Like when he was in shape in L.A.?
Like the playoff years from, I would say, 2000 to 2001 to 2.
So during the three-peat, right?
Yeah, I mean, the last year he wasn't as dominant. Like, he was pretty fucking good, but he wasn't as dominant.
The first 2 years of the three-peat.
Yeah. I mean, the year where they faced Philadelphia in the finals, they only lost one game the entire playoffs. And I think Shaq averaged like 39 points in the finals against Mutombo, who's one of the best defensive centers ever. So, I don't know. I just, you know, I mean, the Terminator analogy maybe wasn't the best one. I just see Giannis as this, like, totally immovable object, you know, come year 10. And it doesn't really matter who you put around him. Like, he's just going to get your team to the finals every year for at least a couple years.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to be there yet this year. I still think Philadelphia's going to the finals, but that's a whole different podcast.
If Giannis is Terminator, is Luka Doncic like Rambo?
Yeah.
Sort of human, but like a really beastly human.
I mean, Rambo was great too, but Rambo never really came close to the peak of Terminator. People don't talk about Rambo the way they talk about Terminator when they look back.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So do you think Luka won't be able to get to peak Giannis? But like, he'll be a tier below.
I don't think it's going to be a tier. I think it'll be closer than that. But
wow.
I think Terminator and Rambo, there's a massive discrepancy there.
Yeah, we need to find a better comparison then.
Yeah, like Breaking Bad and Sopranos.
Yeah, hot take. I didn't think Breaking Bad was that good.
Oh, well.
I only watched the first season.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's sorry, terrible. Sorry, man. I mean, yeah. Compared to The Sopranos and The Wire, and sure, I'm in. The Wire obviously beat
Sopranos is a pretty underrated show when you talk to like younger people.
Yeah, it's because it wasn't online as much, right? It doesn't have a cult following like The Wire does.
It does, just in Jersey, though.
Touche.
Right, and the major New York area, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. And any gangsters.
Yeah. Mafioso.
Yeah. All right, are we done with the All-Star voting talk? Anybody want to sing praise or hate on Alex Caruso being fourth in the West for guards?
Good for him.
I think I'm more mad at Taco Fall because the dude doesn't even play.
I mean, I wouldn't say Caruso really plays compared to the guys behind him. Donovan Mitchell.
All I keep seeing are like photos of Taco Fall in swimming pools.
What?
You haven't seen this? Like, he goes to different like swimming pools around the Boston area, and then he like basically lays out in his back and people take photos of him. It looks like the craziest thing. He's so long, right? It seems like he's like the length of the entire pool.
Oh, that's weird. No, I have not seen this, but I'll look it up.
It's quite impressive.
That's bizarre.
He's probably spent more time in the swimming pool, though, than the basketball court this year.
I think he's actually learning how to swim. That's why.
Hmm.
Oh, okay, then go for it.
You should also learn how to play basketball better.
Ouch.
That's a hot take right there. Man, wow, all the Taco fans are going to come after me.
That's so rude. Like, wow. Hey, you know that thing that you're a professional at? Learn how to do that better other than something you're completely learning for the first time.
Make sure to edit that out. I don't want people coming after me.
No, man, I'm leaving that on. It's so rude.
He's got an army, man. He's like the new Zaza Pachulia.
He does, except it's bigger.
You know what would have been a great social experiment this year? What? To see Zaza Pachulia's name still on the ballot and see how many votes he would actually get.
Yeah, as an assistant coach for the Golden State Warriors.
Comes out of retirement to play the All-Star game.
Just to show how like flawed the fan voting is, you know? I mean, like the entire country of Georgia would still vote for him, still thinking that he's playing for, you know, either Golden State or Detroit or wherever he played last year, Serbia.
They should have left Jeremy Lin and Yao Ming on it, too. Then we can really see how it goes.
But then again, like, how would you actually make it better? It's hard to think of a way that actually works.
Yeah, I don't think they should give, players a vote, to be honest. Because a lot of these players, like, you've seen those videos of players just dicking around and picking, like, I don't know. So name some random guy at the end of a bench.
Tony Allen got a bunch of votes that one year.
Yeah, and then he was voting for, like, random dudes, too.
I think he voted for some of the guys in the big three.
Yeah.
It's like Dwayne, Steven Jackson.
I would vote for Stack. I'd love to see Stack. I'd love to see Jeremy Lin come back from his CBA season just for an All-Star game and then have to fly back to Beijing right after. How about that?
Jimmer did for Deck and join him.
All right, moving on. We're going to do something that we haven't done in a very, very long time. I got some gears to grind, guys.
You know what really grinds my gears?
All right, I'm sure you guys have seen over this past week, Kyrie Irving is back in the news and getting a lot of flack. Have you seen this? Josh, you've been away, so I don't know if you saw it, but Raj, you saw this, right? No, not for effect here, guys. Come on.
Raj.
You okay?
Yeah, sorry. What did you say?
Have you seen the comments that Kyrie made after a loss this week?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When he pretty much named like seven of their players, they're like, we're good core with these guys, but we need more players.
Yeah.
Sorry, Joe Harris and Jared Allen.
Yeah.
Get off the team.
So Kyrie said after, I forget who they lost to. That was like, it was a pretty bad loss. But after the game, he said, collectively, I feel like we have great pieces, but it's pretty glaring. We need one or two more pieces that will complement myself, KD, DJ, GT, Spence, Karras, and we'll see how that evolves.
Man, poor Joe Harris. His backup is getting more run with Kyrie than him.
Yeah. Joe Harris should be thriving with this guy. Kyrie just needs to not talk as much, right? Like, you know how there's some guys that are super calculated with what they say, like LeBron? Kyrie literally just thinks of something and just like lets it all out.
Yeah, there's so many things wrong with this, and like I feel Kyrie should stop talking, period. Like, I think no amount of talking that Kyrie has done in his career has actually helped him.
Yeah.
I've really enjoyed his talks about Flat Earth. I mean, it's just pure entertainment. Isn't that what this is all about?
I mean, it is content.
Keep talking, Kyrie.
Yeah.
For us, it's great.
But like, what the thing is, the content itself is like very questionable. Like, what piece is he looking for? Like, I really do want, I wish the reporter actually asked him, like, what piece? Like, what are you missing? Like, do you want LeBron back on your team? Like, are you looking for, like, an Anthony Davis? Like what level? Yeah, like, what level of upgrade are you expecting? Because you obviously are missing one of the top five players in the NBA when healthy,
yes.
Kevin Durant. And yes. He's a key piece. Your team's not awful. It's not like you guys are in the gutter in the East. Like, you're a seventh seed in the East and probably might be able to climb yourself into like a top five if you play well. This team on paper has gotten better since last year, which when they were sixth, they have you and Kevin Durant. They have a very good young core. Like, Jared Allen is a very good center. I think he's going to be good for many years to come. They have good pieces in Prince and they have good places, pieces like Dinwiddie, Temple, Joe Harris, and obviously DeAndre Jordan. Like, he had to throw him in being like, oh, he's a great player, but he's a piece. Like, what does he expect? Like, I really wanted to know, like, what player did he have in mind?
Okay, I have a bold prediction. So I want you to put in like the silence right now so you can put in some music. So the bold prediction is that Kyrie Irving is going to be the next player that pulls a Darren Collison and just quits for a completely random reason. It's going to happen. I'm not sure what it's going to be. Like, maybe he becomes like a computer scientist that works for the government. I don't know. But it's going to happen. He's going to be the next guy that retires really early. Maybe as soon as next year, because they don't have enough pieces.
I could see Kyrie retiring to do TED Talks.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, Jaylen Brown's actually done one of those.
Yeah, but Jaylen Brown actually knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Jaylen Brown's actually woke. Kyrie is like fake woke.
Fraud.
Yeah, I think Kyrie's probably the most gullible person there is in the NBA. Like, I think you can convince him of anything if you just kind of speak his language and play to his interests. Like, you can woo him into believing whatever you want him to believe, even though he considers himself like an independent mind and someone who breaks norms. I think, like honestly, like from an NBA perspective, like, who is he talking about? Like, what pieces do they need?
You know what? Him and Joakim Noah would be great friends. I just feel like their philosophies sort of align. Like him, you know, Kyrie Irving, Joakim Noah, and Phil Jackson just all go to Montana, smoke a lot of weed, and just chill.
Kyrie Irving is that kid who just took philosophy 101 and thinks he's the hottest shit at the school.
Yeah, and
Joakim Noah is clear. Hold on. I'm not done yet. Joakim Noah is clearly that master's student who didn't know what to do after graduating, so he's just staying in the program. And Phil Jackson never
just became
left.
Like a hippie.
Yeah, and Phil Jackson never left. That's why they all work together.
Yeah, Joakim Noah is the guy still like running the parties in like year 9 of college. He's 21 Drum Street.
Oh, yo, Raj, you know who Kyrie wants? Like, that missing piece? It's friggin' Kevin Durant.
Yeah, but he said Kevin Durant. He said we have a good core. But I actually think he thinks they can get, like, another player that puts them over the edge. And, like, I don't know who that player is and how somehow they're better than Joe Harris or Jared Allen. Maybe he wants Joel Embiid to join him. Or maybe he wants, Pascal Siakam. Like, I don't know what player he wants on top of that current roster that he named, but like,
maybe they'll get Brandon Ingram.
Maybe.
Let's just throw everybody on this team, man. Give him Carmelo Anthony too.
How do you feel if you're Torian Prince? He's a starting small forward and he's played well this year. Doesn't even get a shout out.
I don't know. Ask. Figure out how Joe Harris feels. And Jarrett Allen.
They should start a mutiny, like back in the, what is it, Detroit, when T-Mac was a big cancer in the locker room?
No, it was the coach, man.
Yeah, that's what a T-Mac fan says.
What was that guy's name?
Back then, I was going to say Dwayne Casey, but that's not it.
I gotta find out.
Michael Curry?
Oh, John Kuster.
Oh, God.
Yeah. You remember that, Raj? When five or six Pistons players just refused to show up to practice, legit just pulled a mutiny on him.
This was post Brown.
Yeah, this is like 2011.
Yeah.
This is after they had fallen off. Rip Hamilton was in like his glory years. Tayshaun Prince is on his way out. Josh Smith and Brandon Jennings just got paid. And
that was the beginning of the end.
Rip Hamilton ever took off his mask in public?
Yeah, dude, you've seen interviews with him. Come on. Imagine having that on all day. That'd be so uncomfortable.
I can see him doing it, though. Like, he loved to wear that mask. Like, he's the only player in NBA history that loved wearing a mask.
Yeah, he's the only guy who purposely left it on.
Definitely. I'm surprised they don't have those masks in Mexico. Like, I looked around the store. I didn't see any.
You didn't look for Rey Mysterio?
Oh, there was a bunch of those.
Yeah, why would you get a clear mask? You're in Mexico. You want to be a wrestler or not, bro? Come on now.
Some wrestlers have used that mask in the past. I mean, The Undertaker did, I think, once.
No, he didn't. Stop.
The clear one. You know how hot your face would get under the sun in Mexico wearing a clear mask? It's like putting a magnifying glass like right above your skin. Like, you want skin cancer.
Imagine what Kane felt.
This is too wild. That's for awful. Too many memories.
Joke ever. Imagine how this wrestler character profile felt when he was being burned in a house. and had a leather mask on.
Oh my goodness.
Dude, you need to go to sleep, man.
We're done. All the wrestling fans listening to this are going to have a laugh, too.
Josh needs to stay in.
It's fine. Josh needs to recalibrate himself.
Yeah, get it together, man.
Oh, man.
All right. Anything else? Any other grievances that you want to put out there? Not enough players with masks anymore? I think one player should always have a mask on at all the time. At least one player.
Joel Embiid rocked it pretty well.
Yeah, so did Kyrie.
Yeah, Kyrie's is pretty sick. I like the whole, you know, the black mask. It's nice.
Yeah, he looked like Zorro.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he's so woke. He thinks he's saving the world like Zorro.
Yeah.
Kyrie's going to retire and try to become president. Okay. I mean, Kanye is trying, right? So why can't Kyrie?
Who has a better chance, Kyrie or Kanye? Who would you vote for between the two?
I think Kyrie has more of a chance to have, you know, get the young people to actually go out and vote.
You think so? Over Kanye?
Young people love being woke, and he's next level, so he would get people out of their houses going to vote for him.
But Kanye's got all the Republicans on his side.
That's true. But Republicans, actually, no, I'm not going to say anything.
Yo, Red Hat loves to vote, man.
All the wrestlers and Republicans, they're going to be after you, Josh.
And fans
and the Taco Fall fans, don't forget them, too.
Yeah, you're done after today.
I pissed off a lot of people in this podcast. At least I didn't say what I was going to say there.
What were you going to say?
Yeah, I'm not going to
say it. No, I'll edit it out. Come on.
No, I'm good. I'm not trying to get half of, or more than half America after me.
I can't wait for the emails.
Oh, man.
All right. I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. Hit us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Anchor, Spotify, all the major podcast platforms. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Stretch4Pod. And until next time, peace.